You're now tuned into another episode of Being Africa Allah right here on Discover Music Channel by Playmass.today. Today's show is going to be a little bit different. After 15 years of producing quality podcasts that entertain, educate, and inform you, we are now moving our podcast programming to a subscription-based model. What does that mean for you as a consumer or a listener? Well, all you have to do is subscribe to continue to receive your favorite podcast delivered directly to the mobile device of your choice and or your inbox. A subscription-based model allows the content producers to receive up to 100% of the proceeds to help with the development of their product and or show. This gives us the flexibility needed to produce content that resonates. Thousands and thousands of people are entering the podcast production space. We have artists that have joined the ranks of content producers, now saturating the market with their celebrityhood and with their stardom and fame, taking a bigger chunk of the market share. For the little guy like us, who started initially to produce content and share ideas that resonated with our urban and Caribbean clientele, it is imperative that we move towards a model that can sustain the growth and development of our product for another 15 to 20 years. As supporters, we invite you to subscribe and be a part of this change. So realistically, you've had 780 weeks of Africa Allah all in your ear hole, from DI Radiocast to Discover Music Channel. I've been a part of your life for the last 15 years. Our platform has expanded, matured, and stayed current with the changing times. Our goal is only to provide you with entertainment that resonates and information that will help you develop as a small business, an entrepreneur, or creative. We want to be able to help you travel the world without a passport or create a business that will allow you to travel the world. So today, what I'm going to do is take you through some of my favorite clips from some of my favorite episodes as we get ready to celebrate 16 years as a podcast platform.
Foremost, welcome and thank you for giving us an interview. Tell our viewers who you are and a little bit about what it is that you do.
Well, my name is Nagib Sirius. I'm Sami Sirius' brother. He's the one who initiated and built all this beautiful place. You're in here now. And first, let me say that I'm very happy that you're here and thank you for coming all the way from the Caribbean to see this beautiful spot. I started mostly in telecom, so I built mobile operations around the world. Then I retired and I started investing my money. So I invest in various areas, mining, and telecommunication, internet, real estate, and development, you know. And my connection to the Caribbean is I went by chance through an invitation of a friend of mine, Danny Patrick, who is a Grenadian, and his father was Grenadian, and he lived most of their life there. And he told me, you need to come and see this beautiful island that is still untouched and still virgin and has not been spoiled by civilization, let's say, or by raw or bad construction. And I think you will love it. So I went, and instead of just falling in love with the island, I fell in love with the people. I have never seen so nice and peaceful people who don't mind poverty, who don't mind anything. They just enjoy life as it is. They're easygoing. They're very welcoming. and more like they have a very tranquil character, very hearty and welcoming and warm character. And of course, I was taken out also by the beauty of the island. I mean, it's just the water is warm, and if you walk at 7 or 8 o'clock in the morning across the sea, people are just walking there and greet you, and people are swimming, they have their reunions in the water. And you feel a kind of atmosphere which I've never felt anywhere else, you know. So based on that, I decided that I need to do something here now, because I love people out there. I felt that they need, more people should come and see this, you know, but in a nice way, you know. So I found out that there's not really a, let's say, a real five-star hotel. I mean, people put five-star on hotels, but they're not really that. So I decided to make a challenge and build a small hotel there. Two hotels, like a smaller one and a bigger one later on now, which will provide this kind of luxuries. So for people who really like to see beauty but need to live in a more comfortable or nice environment, that this would be their target, you know. And so we revived, we bought a piece of land called Silver Sand, which was a hotel which was devastated by a hurricane 10 years before.
Okay.
And we started construction now 3-4 months ago, and it's under construction. And I'm sure once it's done, it's going to be the most beautiful hotel in Grenada.
So the...
Wow. It seems like almost a lifetime ago that I had the opportunity to interview Naguib Sariris, one of the richest men in the world. During my time in El Gouna, Red Sea, Egypt, while covering one of my clients for the Top Model of the World 2015, I was invited by Mr. Swayez to his yacht to interview him in regards to his endeavors in the Caribbean. By far, this was one of my favorite interviews, more so because in countries like Egypt, women are not allowed to have conversations with men of stature. Secondly, the communication was so genuine and authentic. Additionally, everyone was at awe at how nice he was and how much he smiled during the conversation. It was definitely a culture shock, but a great and warm reception. Ironically, shortly after our interview aired, Mr. Suarez was then trending on CNN News, which allowed this particular podcast episode to garner a lot of high-profile attention. So, this is definitely one of the highlights of my podcasting career. And as an added benefit, our supporters had an opportunity to get into the mind of a billionaire.
Turn any day into the ultimate party with our monthly $3 exclusive subscription. Here's how it works. Your monthly subscription helps cover artists' streaming royalties, support our DJs, and increase platform visibility. Get more out of the mix shows you enjoy with offline access, downloads, and special mix requests. $3 exclusives now available at subscriptions.goodwifi.party. That's subscriptions.goodwifi.party.
In 2020, the world was brought to a standstill. Businesses, entrepreneurs, creatives, etc., had to figure out how to maneuver in a new norm. Everything was done online. As a new media company, far beyond 2020, Playmass.today, Discover Music Channel, Distinctive Impression, whatever the platform is, our business and brands have always existed online. As a result, it was easy for us to pick up the pieces and produce content to help the general population adapt to the changing climate that was happening in the world. Here's one of my favorite pieces that I did with B from a major hosting platform.
And today we are talking about With Continuum, the conversation on building a brand without a website, right? So today, B is going to talk to us all about content strategy. B, go ahead and take it away.
Thank you. So here we are again, touching base on ways to build your online presence without a website. While this strategy does rely on other avenues like social media and other outlets, that is, you could still utilize it to create a valuable following. Today's topic is going to be content strategy. Okay. This is the creation and publication and intention of useful and usable content. We'll dive deeper into what that is, but basically we're going to talk about the why, and then we're also going to cover the who, the what, and the where. Okay. So the why of your content strategy, this is the purpose. Everything that you write, images you post, videos that you show should be all aligned to your business's purpose and goals. Okay. Like in most business decisions, they typically refer back to their mission statement to see if it suits where they're heading as a business. Okay. Same thing here with your content. It needs to refer back to what is the purpose and goals of you creating an online presence. Now, your content.
So building a brand without a website was one of the conversations that we had during the pandemic to get people that weren't necessarily tech savvy accustomed to using the digital sphere for their business. Now, prior to 2020, we were traveling all around the world covering Carnival. We had an opportunity to actually have conversations with artists from the Bahamas and talk about their experience on the global Carnival platform. Unfortunately, 2020 came, and that all came to a screeching halt. But here are a few interviews from some of my favorite artists.
And this interview segment is called Play Mass. This year, we are looking at the cultural aspects of Bahamas Carnival on a global scale. Today, I'm here with Tara Lynn, the Bimini girl, and she's going to tell us a little bit about her career, the career path, and of course, her experiences on the world stage. Good morning, good day, good afternoon. Tara Lynn, how are you?
Yes, good morning. The Bimini gal is here, and thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to chat it up with you gal.
I am so excited to have you on air today. We spoke a little bit off air, but you know, for the last few years, I've been paying attention to your career, and I am really at awe at the career moves that you've made. Now, tell us a little bit about why you decided to go the non-traditional route in regards to getting your Bahamian gal music out on a global scale.
You know, I think the thing for me is when I first came out, I had my very first song is called One Time, and it has a little bit of a dancehall flair to it. My second song that I did is called Big and Sexy and Cute. And when I recorded this song, Africa, I didn't even think about saying, oh, well, this fits in a genre of soca. You know, I just gravitate to music that feels good to me. So when I put it out, I got so much love from the soca community. And that's really how I began to, you know, make my connections and form those relationships to help kind of foster, you know, my career. And that was really the springboard as to what kind of got me on my trajectory now from really being involved in the soca world and working the carnival circuit.
Wow. Okay. Now you are from Bimini. I want to dial it back a little bit because I want to give people kind of a background on you. You're from Bimini, right?
Yes.
Tell us a little bit about being from Bimini and being a musician in the Bahamas and getting, you know, getting on local platforms.
Yeah. Well, you know, I always tell people, I feel like I was born on a bandstand because my dad was a calypso singer and he had a band called Ozzy Brown and the Calypsonians. And my house was probably about 20 footsteps to the back of the hotel where the band used to play. So all night long, I telling you, all night long, we would hear music. I mean, I could remember he was pulling me on stage and I always gravitated to that. So just as a young child, I've been immersed in calypso. I've been immersed in soca, reggae. And I feel like I had a good palate as far as concern is just taking in music. And that's really where my love for it came from. So I've been performing ever since a young child. When I moved to the States, because my mom is American and my dad is Bohemian. When we moved to the States to kind of finish up school, I started dabbling a little bit in the hip hop community. And some people know or may not know, but I was actually on Lil Wayne's album, The Carter 2, a song called More Fire. Yes, and that album sold over 1 million copies. And I always think about it and I'm like, you know what? That's so cool to be able to be a part of.
Did you get royalties?
Now, you know, we're talking about cash money here, Africa.
Okay. You was just elated to be a part of the project. You're like, yes!
You know, girl, I am just happy to be involved in it. But yeah, so I've dabbled in a lot of things. And I say that to say that at this point in my life, in my career, I am going back to my roots. You know, this is me. This is who I am. This is the music that I love to do. And I'm just having so much fun. You know, I couldn't be happier.
Now, you're saying that you're happy and I can see it everywhere. I mean, you're on every single stage this year. You've been on almost every single carnival stage. Orlando, Miami, New Orleans. New Orleans. I know you were in. You were in the UK. Yeah. I mean, you just were everywhere representing the Bahamas. And people are like, well, who this gal is? Who is this gal? How, you know, a lot of people, if it weren't for you, and I say this a lot, if it weren't for you, there would have been no representation of Bahamian music on these platforms. Yeah. So tell us how you made these moves and were able to travel and get the recognition that you needed to propel the Bahamian culture and or the Bahamian carnival idea to the world.
One of the things that I would definitely say probably has attributed to this was me being on the Queen's Rhythm that came out at the end of last year going into this carnival season for 2019.
That was a major move. Yeah. That was a major move. That was a boss move. And how did you actually get into that? Because that's interesting.
Yeah, I definitely feel like that was something that helped springboard it. And, you know, that was a connection that was made through social media. And working with the producer, and it had Fayon Lyons on it, Nadia Batson, Patrice Roberts, and Jay Dale. So I was the only, you know, out island, so to speak, from the Trinidad artist that was on it. And it was truly a blessing to be amongst those women who are just basically at the top of the soca game, you know? So that helped a lot. The other thing that I would say to Africa, and I realized that every time I do something or I go out and I show myself, you know, I show my talent, my stage presence, something else comes from it. So everything is a building block and a stepping stone. But I will definitely have to say, and you know, I really need to share that something that totally blew my mind was when I was in London and I was performing and I was singing Big and Sexy and Cute. And there were some girls in the front and they were singing every single word. I had to go and bring the mic over there and let them sing. And I'm like, you know what? God is so good. And music transcends across the whole Atlantic Ocean. And I was like, you know what? That was just so much encouragement and eye-opening that, man, I don't even know how far my music has gone. And I cannot stop now. I just got to keep going.
I just love it. I love it. I love it. I love it. Big, sexy, and cute. The fact that your music is transcending across the globe and people are resonating with it is amazing, right?
Yeah.
And you're coming from a small island, not even Nassau, the capital, but Bimini.
That's right.
You know?
7 miles long and a half mile wide, baby. I have population less than 2,500 people. So I always just tell people, it don't matter where you're from. It don't matter where you start. Anything is possible.
Yes, it is. Anything is possible. And right now, we are going through a crisis here in the Bahamas as a result of Hurricane Dorian. You're getting ready to perform once again to support the Bahamas, whom you've carried on your back for the last 24 months, right?
Yes.
Or I would say for life, but in the last 24 months, they've been very visible.
Yes.
So with that being said, how do you feel towards the response of the people in regards to reaching out? You've got a couple new tracks out. You've been working on the rebranding of Rick Carey. But before we get into that, let's introduce our fan base to who Rick Carey is. You started out with Bahamian, right?
Well, I mean, and my career started off from before that, but I joined Bahamian in 2000. And it just, you know, our careers as a group just shot through the roof because of Who Let the Dogs Out, obviously. And, you know, it's just been like constant travels, constant touring, like real tour support. We had a lot of record company backing back then. So, and the industry was so, like, I compare the industry back then to now, and I'm just like, you know, I came in when things were really, really booming. Like in the industry, man, like there was a lot of marketing, like organic marketing going on at the time. And there was a lot of monies being spent. The big shot jobs were getting done. And, you know, we didn't have these kinds of things. Like the internet was just starting to pop off back then. So that should tell you how long that
was. That's crazy. You know, it's crazy to even imagine a world without the internet.
Without the internet. I know, right? It's like, you could imagine, like, back then, if we had tools like what we have now to market, like, artists, but man, it would have been crazier. Like, and then imagine what would have happened, like, moving forward to now. What do you think the internet would be now? Like, it would be awesome. But, you know, I came from that era. And then, you know, I've been on the road for quite a number of times. We've done tours with a lot of pop groups, like NSYNC, and we've opened up for NSYNC, we've opened up for Backstreet Boys, and, you know, so many different artists, so many different tours, all across America. We've been to some parts of Canada. We've done shows in London, Germany. We've been to Hawaii as well. We've been to the only parts we haven't been to that I could reveal to you that we have not tapped into, but we have a huge fan base, is Australia and India. We've never hit those regions before, but, you know, fingers crossed.
So you've been to Africa though?
I've never been to Africa. I want to go there like just on a leisure trip though. I don't want to go there for work. You know what I'm saying? Like, I feel like for Africa, I need
you
to
wanna
be
experience,
there.
You right. want to experience the continent.
Culture. I want to travel and, you know, and meet, link with people. And I want to actually meet some people in the Afrobeats community because I'm highly inspired by that music as well. So I want to see what I could do over there. Cause I have a single that's an Afrobeat single. And I started to tap into that during Carnival of this year gone. Got some links in Africa, some dance communities in the UK and LA and New York. And they started to show me love for the music and they started to do videos. And I was trying to make those links with DJs and stuff. A couple of DJs added me to their playlist.
But they added your Caribbean stuff and you haven't really delved into the Afrobeats fully.
No, they added Wind Up For Me, which is an Afrobeat song. And I also sent them, you know, one of my relevant singles like Call Me and Road Dog. But I guess they more resonated to Wind Up For Me because it's
so
an
Afrobeat. Similar to their sound.
Yeah, it's basically what they were doing so they could relate to it more and put it
now
in their mixes.
Now we're talking about
I wasn't
Rick Carey. So let's talk about Rick Carey.
Yeah,
when did you decide, you know, you've been doing so well with Bahamian and, you know, you're still a part of the group. But when did you decide that you wanted to get back to working on your solo projects?
Africa Boy, that was a long process, a long soul-searching process for me. I think if I could put it in a year frame, I would say back in 2012 was when, and I think also what inspired me more, and shout out to all my local artists here, you know, people who've been keeping me on my toes and keeping me inspired and keeping me encouraged, you know, because a lot of times when I do work here in Nassau, it's for the other artists. But then they hear something. Sometimes it's good to sit back and just listen to other people. And, you know, you listen to family and friends and you listen to them. And then it kind of gets you inspired to get out there and create, you know. So I started to dip more into my stuff back in 2012, after I did that track for Happy Hour. I don't know if you remember Happy Hour that I did for Facade. Yeah, that kind of like opened up the doors more, even though I was messing with that sound for a long time. But, you know, timing is everything in music business, because that sound before that, nobody was really kind of like taking me serious on it, you know, until we had a platform, which is, you know, Bahamas Carnival. It started to like create some things, some magic started happening. And it's a beautiful thing when you have these venues and, you know, you have these events that give artists like the platform to go out there and promote their music and perform. And
in today's Play Mass segment, we have Wendy. I tried to do it, but
you almost did it. I was waiting on the next line. You know about it. That was good, Africa.
Welcome. So today we're going to talk a little bit about, you know, your career, being a mother, you know, all of the festivals that you've participated in as a result of your music. So I know you have a new record out. Tell us a little bit about that. Well, you have a couple records out for the 2020 carnival season. So tell us about those.
My newest record is called Weakness. It's produced by Star Blue Productions out of Trinidad and written by Daryl Gervais and Karan Ramsey out of Trinidad. And I'm super excited to be working with this team. And I'm also very happy that they are excited to be working with me as well. They're promoting and pushing the music. It's a brand new type of feel for me. Definitely, it's still Bahamas Soca, even though it's written by a Trinidadian team, because we got together with the songwriters and we made sure that the theme of the song was still something that we could identify with in the Bahamas. You know, one of the things we said is that we don't really fet, but we's potty. So that's why the hook says it's potty till the morning, because we know Bahamas like the potty. P-A-D-D-Y, that's what I always say, P-A-D-D-Y. So that's what I'm promoting right now. It's been going really well.
Having been a part of the Bahamas Carnival concept from its inception, I've had the unique opportunity to watch artists develop, grow, and embrace their creativity. Through Play Mass and Discover Music Channel, I've been able to share those experiences with the world. Now, here's a conversation with one of my DJs and I, as we just talked about music. And there's been several instances in the news where our creators have been under attack by mainstream. First, I want to talk about the influx of Black creators over the course
of the 2020 pandemic and how that has changed the scope or the landscape of new media, right? There has been a sizable increase in Black podcasters in the last year. And with that, we've also seen the influence of Black creatives on social media platforms through products like Versus, as well as DJ D-Nice. He pretty much put the streaming platforms on upside down when he broke the internet with almost a million people, well, actually over a million people on one of his podcasts, not his podcast, one of his IG lives that actually set the tone for 2020 lockdown, right? Now, we've been doing podcasting since 2006. And that's a little short of 15 years. And so we've been doing podcasting for a little bit over 15 years, right?
Yeah, okay.
And there's always been a representation of African Americans, Blacks, and Caribbean people working on podcasting. And while we've been producing content, ironically, only 11% of the listening population are of color or Black.
Question. Why do you think that is?
Because it is a product controlled and created by white America.
So we don't, so the reason being we don't have accurate representation in the media form.
No, when we start talking about that, and we're gonna get more into that throughout this podcast, but
okay.
When we start talking about, like I said, we're great at being creators, right?
Yeah, facts.
But we're not so good at supporting the creatives because everybody feels that they can create. Nobody wants to be the listener.
Yeah, so, that's true.
It's like you have a DJ, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, oh man, this DJ it sucks. So what they do, instead of hiring a DJ, they play a YouTube playlist because they feel like they can do a better job than the DJ.
And it's the same, and they feel like it's the same thing when in actuality it's really nowhere near the same thing.
But that's the whole.
But I agree, that's the mindset.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to ban the use of any telephones or digital devices while we're doing this. Please put the porn down. So it's the same premise. People, like, we're great at creating, and we have all of these ideas and concepts that we want to get out, but they are not enough people that are interested in consuming. The other part is that I think the learning curve, and it's not really a learning curve, it's just the fact that it's accessibility, people don't have data plans, but there's so many different things that make these things readily available now. I can understand it being at 11% it wasn't even 11%. I could understand the numbers being low in 2006, 2012, but 2020, we should definitely have a lot more people in our communities listening to the Black podcast. Now, the other thing about that is that you know, people say, oh well, we have Joe Buttons, or we have Nori, and we have DJ Khaled, and it's not the same. these things are not the same, because these are people, the only reason that they're known is because they have white money behind them. Let's get that real. They have big businesses behind them, and they have a name. And just because they have celebrity doesn't mean that their podcasts are going to be of any value or offer any substance to the communities. They're already polluting the airwaves with their music. So now they're going to turn around and pollute the podcasts with their controlled ideas that are basically dictated by the people that are putting the money behind them. There's no true ownership from those people.
True ownership in terms of me owning the platform, me owning the content, and me being the full, let's say, the creative behind the whole topics and everything, right? That's what you mean by true ownership.
True ownership. Like, think of it this way. When you watch, like, we get excited because Shonda Rhimes is doing TV and she's on NBC and she's on Netflix or wherever she is, right? But when we actually look at the images depicted, are they truly African American or black?
Or are they watered down?
Yeah. Like, black is... Nobody on there was black. Like, they didn't look like you or I.
Yeah, I agree. I agree with you on that. I do feel like we are extremely misrepresented, especially when it comes to media. But that's also how they get to misrepresent us.
Day. Come on now, let's talk about it. We gonna talk.
The corporations. The corporations. Controlled. The corporations controlled. Corporations controlled by the white dollar.
Okay, so now we get into the nook and cranny of it.
Yeah.
And,
boy. Okay.
So
let's get dirty.
So when we start talking about that, because even as a creative and outside of music and entertainment, as a creative, as a web designer, as a graphic designer, as a videographer, I've constantly noticed these things, because now that we're inside, I can't really capture the content that I need, so I have to rely on stock footage. And the hardest thing in the world is for me to find a representation of Blacks, Caribbeans, and or African Americans that
looks like you.
Not only do they look like me, that aren't angry or look like,
okay,
like,
and
they're agitated. And then this makes me wonder, who's capturing these images? And even if a black person is capturing the images, who's paying for the images being captured?
Okay, I often look at it like this. It's that's the reason why the system is the way it is. It is that way to portray a particular set of people in a particular light, mainly black and brown people. We have always been portrayed as violent. We have always been portrayed as stupid, ignorant, and the list goes on. And the darker the skin, the worse you are in their eyes, in the white eye. And that's why when you look for images online, you can only literally find either mixed couples, mixed babies. Everything is mixed. Everybody's curly hair, no real afros. We've been misrepresented in every aspect of life. Every aspect of life we've been missing. And even when we get to a point whereas you can see greatness in real life, look at Obama, first black president.
Also mixed.
Mixed. And I feel like that's the only reason he was actually accepted, because he was mixed.
And I'm not taking away from
it. No.
Because the moment that you have a drop of black blood in you, you are considered black.
Oh yeah. Yes.
But even in that, my question is, if we have 30% or even 40% of the 40% of growth in the digital content producers segment, right, of the industry, why is it that only 11% are chiming or tuning in? And how do we find our tribe? As creatives, is it our responsibility to make sure we go out there and cultivate our audience so that we can have more people consuming our content that look like us?
It's conditioning. That's as plain and simple as you can put it. It's conditioning, because if you look at it in the Black communities, the system is designed to keep Black and brown people down. So the mental conditioning for it is, instead of me or instead of us helping the community and helping one another thrive like Tulsa, what we do is we try to bring everybody down. That Black Rob syndrome, that's a real thing, and until we get over that, nothing, we won't be able to overcome.
We have to have some way for us to be able to
get over it.
We have to be able to figure out a way for us to cultivate our audience. There has to be a way for us to reach out to people that are interested in the content, and I'm not just talking about the content that we're putting out. I'm talking about the content as black content producers globally.
You can take a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. People have to want to listen. They have to want to understand, and they have to want to be a part. You can't make anybody do anything. So, like I said, until they are ready. Now, the only thing I can say that we can do to try is the younger generation that's coming up. You can teach them what we should be doing versus letting the media and the internet grow them up. Because I feel like that's a big thing, too.
Our reliance right now is completely and utterly like on the aspect of digital. And with that, it's interesting because even with everything that's gone on, African Americans still have still control a lot of the buying power. All right?
Yeah.
African Americans continue to emerge as powerful consumers and creators. The borderless digital age has allowed for explosive creative growth and buying power within the Black community. As social consciousness increases and African American influencers grow prominent, and Black consumers and creators are poised for massive increase in buying power. But we're not talking about ownership. We're constantly praising the African American community for their consumerism. Right? And we're constantly praising them for their being creatives, right? Mm-hmm. But we're not talking about building infrastructure. We're not talking about ownership.
Pause right there. Mm-hmm. Where were we taught that we should focus on infrastructure, focus on ownership, focus on these things? Now, I'm gonna use the Bahamas as an example. The Bahamas The Bahamas breeds subservient people. This is why I say that. What is our number one industry
at this point? And we praise
tourism.
We praise servitude. Yeah.
Working for the hotels. That's the number one industry in the Bahamas. At no point do they teach you, hey, you should be an entrepreneur. Hey, you should learn how to do this. You should learn how to work for yourself and take care of yourself. You should learn how to. No, they don't teach us that. At least not him.
Well, I can only speak for. They don't teach it anywhere else.
They don't teach
African Americans anything about financial literacy, about ownership, about creating a business. We don't teach that anywhere. But I would think experience and exposure would allow you to see that there are opportunities beyond the borders of what has been taught.
Experience and exposure for who? Because only a certain select few get the actual experience and the actual exposure. Going away, yeah, you have experience, you have exposure to certain things, but when you grow up in a house where you have a mother and a father who works for themselves, when you grow up in a house where you have a mother that's telling you,
While I enjoy talking about music, nothing moves me more than the actual music. I'm going to end today's show with the influences that made Being Africa Allah possible.
Baby. Icons. Street money. Y'all ready? Come on. If you smoke that now, in this club and you all want to clap. Got a drink that you can't put down. Want to fight when it all goes down.
Get crunked up.
Get crunked up. We do. That's committee right. Blessed cats with tracks. I'm finessing the raps. You got 100,000 better? Best invest in chats. Some labels paying away some meals. CD still in the rack. I got a click to play a strap ready for war. We prefer the ball to get bombed next from yours. You know it's on player with my click paw liquor. I'm a shining too, but the ice look bigger. Out the drop, dagger hanging, banging my perfect cuts to blind your sight. Look, I'm just too much. Players' heads to feel the rush when they turn me up. That's women peaches are burning lust when my click come up. Icons, player, we supposed to shine. Look, forget X and Cole, we gon' blow your mind. We got some heat for that. If you step out of line, and when committee take control, y'all gon' fall behind. If you smoke that now, in the club and you all wanna clown, got a drink that you can't put down, wanna fight when it all go down.
Get crunked up.
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 Yo, get crunked up, stay crunked up. Roll to the club in a Navigator truck. Buy out the bar like I don't give a what. Who you know out there, stay fendied up. Plus this classy chicks, they sick as shit. You need more than Ben's cool to taste this chick. Y'all ballers in the club gon' try to hit, but y'all ain't even here with shit. So my girls gon' clown, get towed down. Y'all better know we ain't messing around. Icons in the star like wood. Everybody better get crunked up.
If you smoke that now, in this club and you all wanna clown. Got a drink that you can't put down. Wanna fight when it all go down.
Get crunked up.
Get crunked up.
Get crunked up.
Get crunked up.
Dealing with something on something's real as shit. Pop champagne, I give you a sip. About to go dumb, how come? Yeah, that's my bitch. That's my bitch. Shorty right there, that's my bitch. That's my bitch. Get your own. It ain't safe in the city, watch the throne. She say I care more about them Basquions. Basquiat, she learning a new word is shot. Blew the world up soon as I hit the club with her. Too short call, told me I fell in love with her. Seek by actors, ball players, and drug dealers. And some lesbians that never love niggas. Twisted love story, true romance. Mary Magdalene from a pole dance. I'm a freak, huh? Rockstar life. The second girl, I got a new riddle. Who's a new old perm that's trying to play second fiddle? No disrespect, I'm not trying to be little. With my dick worth money, I put money in the middle. Where she at in the middle?
Once again, back is the incredible rhyme animal, the uncannibal beast. Public enemy number one, 5-4 said freeze, and I got numb. Can I tell them that I really never had a gun? But it's the wax that the Terminator X-Bun. Now they got me in a cell, cause my records they sell. Cause a brother like me said, well, Farrakhan's a prophet, and I think you wanna listen to what he can say to you. What you ought to do is follow for now. Power the people say, make a miracle, keep up the lyrical. Black is back, all in, we're gonna win, check it out.
Yeah, yo, come on.
Here we go again. I'm saying inside music that the critics are all blasting me for. They'll never care for the brothers and sisters. Why, cause the country has us up for the war. We got to get them straight. Come on now, they're going to have to wait till we get it right. Radio stations are questioning their blackness. They call us a black, but we'll see you up latest. Bring the noise.
Hey, yo, Chuck, they illin', we chillin'.
Bring the noise.
Yo, B.E. in the house, stop feelin'. Hey, yo, Chuck, tell what you can do, boy.
Get from in front of me. The crowd runs to me, my DJ has warned me. Sex, I call him Norm, you know. He can cut a record from side to side. So what the ride, the glide, what should be safer than a suicide? Soul control, beat is the father of your rock and roll. Music for watching, for witching. You call a band, man, making a music of music. But you can't do it, you know. You call them demos.
But we ride demos, too.
What you gonna do? Rap is not afraid of you. Beat is for Sonny Bono.
Beat is for Yoko Ono.
Run the MC first, and the DJ could be a band. Stand on its own feet, get you out your seat. Beat is for Eric B and LL as well, hell.
Watch is for Anthrax.
Still it can rock bells. Ever forever, universal it will sell. Time for me to exit. Terminator exit.
Brothers are amused by other brothers' reps, but the thing you know best is where the gun is kept. Cause in the night you'll feel fright, and at the sight of a 4/5, I guess you just might wanna do a dance or two. Cause he could maybe bust you for self or with a crew. No matter if you or your brother's a star, he could prop you in jet without a getaway car. And some might say that he's a dummy, but he's sticking you and taking all of your money. It's a daily operation. He might be loose in the park or lurking at the train station. Mad brothers know his name, so he thinks he got a little fame from the stick-up game. And while we're blaming society, he's at a party with his man. They got the eye and the gold chain that the next man's wearing. It looks big, but they ain't staring, just thinking of a way and when to get the brother. They'll be long gone before the kid recovers, and back around the way he'll have the chain on his neck, claiming respect just to get a rap.
NICE, I'm Nitro, and I'm hype, so don't ever believe that you can deceive me. See many visions of love and splendor. I'm the real thing, not like a pretender. I rock rhymes over beats on a real tip. Stay real strong and hang on like a vice grip. Use my mind to control all my body parts. Got an early start, plus I'm very smart. Type of man that the girls wanna read about. Indeed, I proceed to rock the house without a doubt. Stepping up next, no further ado. Smooth B is gonna make a real funky for you.
Got it. techniques. Guaranteed to move freaks, and I'll go on for weeks. Maybe years, if my peers give me ears to fill. Lick off a shot and act ill. Ball made and chill. See, I paid my dues. Now you can't tell me nothing. This is dedicated to the ones who kept fronting. The ones who try to diss and post high. Oh, no. Just cause you had low. See, now I got no. And I'm paid off my rectum. Meaning my backbone. Grab the mic, flip a match grip to your dome. Suckers, I kick them like Taekwondo. Yes, hello. From head to toe, the lecture. Like Arnold Schwarzenegger. Buckshot quick to play your nigga like Sega. Smooth trigger, happy snappy. Keep my hair nappy. When I swing a F, girls call me Big Pappy. I used to play a game called Ring Around a Rosie. But now I play the mic, that's why the whole world knows me. I'm sorta like a Chevy Heavy when I bump rush. You better bring your whole damn crew or get your head crushed, sucker. Cause I'ma set it off with one shot. One trigger, one nigga, dub heads drop. Don't even try to play me out, core static. Buckshot shorty, me sounds like an automatic. My friends mad tight, cause I rocks the mic and keeps the crowd hype. Straight from bump rush, try crushing cause chaos, yo. And I'ma let you know.
Yes, yes, y'all.
Yes, y'all.
See how the scale to be the best, y'all.
Best, y'all.
Five slam from east to west, y'all.
Best, y'all.
Pound straight through your bubble vest, y'all.
Best,
and
y'all.
Shake your chest, y'all.
Just like a rumba, stirring, gun clap a number. One on the set, man, I cut you like lumber. Still play the back in my thunder gear. Down to my underwear. Make all your motherfuckers wonder where I come from. Cause motherfuck Dapper Dan. I'm a gun clapper fan. Plus I run rappers, man. Fat Five, Mad Live, blow up the spot. Drew High gets the paper. Black Moon still gets the prize.
Hey, yo, next. The snapper neck be big R-O-C-K. Send MCs to me in squads of three. Say rockin' this monster as he for really can be. See him in action as he transform that man's me. Enemies ain't caught him, ain't a welcome back in my home. Knots get blown like quarter slots and payphones. Phone home or return like Jedi. I bet I can without lie give your stupid ass the red
dye. I like niggas who can't see past a little bit of light. You come test a champion, you're gonna die tonight.
What?
And 6 feet deep is where you sleep. What? Eternally resting in peace, you felt relief. Now big up to all my true heads in the east. Stalking the block, not leaving the house without they gas. You best to believe that Fat Five got my back.